Please be seated. This week I've been on a Christian retreat in Derbyshire, and they played that song in one of the worship services, and I saw a picture of Christ. I saw him on the cross, and I was at his feet, and it moved me to tears, knowing that what he has done for me, and that love that he showed to all of us, became very, very real. That love that's so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. What wonderful words. We now come to our reading. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at verses 17 to 21. Val's going to come up and do a reading for us. And the sermon's going to be on the last two verses 20 and 21, but it makes more sense when you read it from 17. So, Val, please come up and do our reading. Thank you.
The reading is Romans 12, 20 to 21, but we're starting from verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, and as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Thank you, Val. So today, we're going to look at the last bit of Romans 12. In our series, Right Relationships Lead to Right Living. And in Romans chapter 12, Paul paints a picture of what it means to follow Christ. What a transformed life in Christ should look like. And Romans 12 describes what happens when our hearts are transformed by the gospel. When the life of Christ is reproduced in us. In verses 9 to 16, it talks about love inside the church. And that love ripples outwards to people outside the church. Verses 20 to 21 is part two of looking at our relationship with our enemies. And that's a very strong word, enemies. And it can actually mean those who are hostile to us, those who might hate us, and those who might hurt us. So today we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. Now there's a moment that we all know, a moment when we're hurt. It could be a sharp word from a friend. It could be a betrayal that we didn't see coming. At that moment, deep in every heart, there's an instinct that appears that wants us to retaliate. And Paul knew that moment really well. He felt it. But he responds with a different kind of power. In verse 20, he responds with the power of loving your enemy. And this is the first point I want to talk about. Verse 20, the NIV says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Friends, this reflects Jesus' teaching in Matthew 25, that whatever you did for the least of these, you do to Jesus. It also reflects Jesus' command in Matthew 5:44 about loving our enemies. In the Torah it said, you should hate your enemies. And Jesus said, that's not right. You should love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those who persecute you. And this week I feel like I've been living that out in my life. And I'm sure you recognize that yourselves. Jesus' teaching here is not just avoid revenge, but it's actually willing the other person's good. Isn't that incredible? Love for our enemies and overcoming evil with good is the same command. In verse 20, Paul quotes Proverbs 25, verse 21, when he says, we'll come on to that in a moment, but it is a startling truth, Proverbs 25. And this truth says, your enemy is not someone to avoid. It's so easy to think, I just won't have anything to do with them. It makes it easier, but it doesn't overcome evil. This verse says, we're not to avoid that person. We're to help them through acts of kindness. And sometimes this is hard to do in our fleshly natures. We need the Holy Spirit of God to enable us to do this. Avoiding that person doesn't overcome evil. So what is the secret to overcoming evil? Well, one of the things is to see that person not as evil. Our battle is with principalities, not with flesh and blood. We need to see evil as distinct from the evildoer. And this is why Paul says, feed your enemy. He's not saying what they've done doesn't matter. He's not pretending they didn't hurt us when he's saying, feed your enemy. What he's saying is about the posture of our hearts towards the person who's hurt us. Paul says, feed them and give them a drink. To our culture, this looks like weakness, but it's strength. This is Jesus' teaching in action, and it overcomes evil with good. Loving your enemy is not weakness, it's strength. And in doing this, it says in Proverbs 25, you're going to heap burning coals on their head. Sounds a bit vicious. What does it mean? Well, this was a custom in Egypt when the Israelites were there that they would carry burning coals on their head. It was with clay containers. So it meant they didn't get second or third degree burns on their head. But the heat of the coals meant their faces turned red as if they were blushing. Burning coals is an image of shame and remorse that our enemies experience when their hostility is met with unexpected kindness. Doing this creates space for their hard heart to be softened. And sometimes it doesn't change the person, but even if it doesn't change them, something happens. Conflict doesn't spiral. Retaliation doesn't multiply. It stops the harm, the evil, from reproducing in you. And the harm done to you doesn't continue through you. This teaching is difficult. It goes against our instinct to retaliate. We want fairness, this calls for justice. We want fairness, but it calls for grace. We want justice, but it calls us to trust God instead. We want to defeat our enemies, and this calls us to love them. And that's how we defeat them. This is not only the way we should live, this is the way we will defeat evil. This is Jesus' way. And that's our first point, loving the enemy. So we've looked at a very different form of power, loving the enemy. The second point is a very different kind of victory, verse 21. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What exactly does it mean to overcome evil with good? Well, it doesn't mean that evil's harmless. It means that you refuse to return evil. You refuse to retaliate. You reject taking revenge, and you leave it for God. Justice is his. And in this verse 21, there's an extraordinary promise here that evil can be overcome. That means evil is not all-powerful. Jesus is all-powerful. Evil is not. It means evil can be overcome through the lives of God's people that have been transformed by the gospel. And my friends, that's the only way to do it. And when Paul uses the word overcome, this is a really interesting word. It actually means I conquer. When you overcome, you conquer evil. It means that evil can be defeated. And our culture today wants to assume power to destroy their enemies. But Jesus wins through love. So the weapon of victory isn't force. Evil is not defeated by evil, but by doing good. And when we do good, we are reflecting Jesus' example, and it means that we're putting our trust in God. Amen. And verse 21 is also a warning for us. What's the warning? The warning is that evil is not just something we should avoid, but evil is trying to overcome us. Evil is trying to reach our hearts. It's trying to make you bitter. It's trying to make you angry. It's trying to make you retaliate. When we're overcome by evil, it means we will repay evil with evil. This results in more sin, more pain. In other words, evil wins. And an example of this is in Lord of the Rings. The person who used the ring to defeat the evil Lord Sauron became evil. And this means the victory was a defeat because they became evil to defeat evil. The wearer of the ring allowed evil to win. So my friends, every cutting word you receive, every grudge you hold on to, every wound you replay over and over in your mind is becoming overcome by evil. When this happens, we're in danger of letting evil win. And I think this verse also means to overcome evil with good means that we need to overcome our own hearts as well and conquer the evil within us. When people hurt us, when they wound us, we must master our own reaction. Evil is not defeated by matching it, wound for wound, eye for eye, but by disarming it. And that's what Jesus did at the cross. In Luke 23, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And I had a dream once, and the dream was that I was lining up on that pathway to hell, the wide path. And I was getting closer and closer to the abyss, and I was getting really scared in this dream. And suddenly, a man, I think it was Jesus, touched me on the shoulder and said, it's okay, I'm going to take this for you. And do you know what? It just made it alive what Jesus has done for me again and what he's done for you. He's taken our place. Jesus at the cross took all the weight of human sin and the wrath of God. And Jesus responds to violence with forgiveness. Father, forgive them. They know not what they've done. Here we see love conquers evil without becoming evil. At the cross, Jesus conquers evil with self-sacrificial love. And we can conquer evil by abiding in him. And the resurrection of Christ proves something really important. It proves that evil doesn't have the last word, and that God will set everything right. And that's the second point, the victory of God by a different kind of power. So how are we going to apply that to our lives today? What has the Holy Spirit put on your heart? This week I've recognized that there's things in my heart that I need to come before the Lord and to offer up to him again. Things that don't belong there. The hurts, the bitterness, the disappointment. And offer them to God. And you know what? He just took it all away. And suddenly my joy was restored in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Is there any bitterness? Is there a grievance in your heart? Is there a disappointment that you're carrying it? And today I'm going to ask, we're going to bring it to the cross. We're going to let Jesus deal with all of that. Let's break the cycle of hurt. Let's let go of resentment and ask our Father God to give us a good gift and exchange it for something he chooses to put in you. You might say, how do I overcome evil with good in the real world? Only if you live in view of God's mercy. And here Paul has taken us back to the very first verse in this chapter. Through the mercies of God that we can become a living sacrifice to bring him honor and glory. What does God's mercy mean? To live in view of God's mercy, it means that our thoughts are shaped by God's mercy. Our attitudes and our decisions are shaped by God's mercy. The way we live our life is shaped by God's mercy and God's forgiveness, which we have accepted. And this is the gospel. The gospel makes loving your enemy possible. How does it do that? Well, there's three things that the gospel does for us, for those that believe in Christ. First, the gospel reminds us that before we even came to him, God was patient with us. And even after we've come to him, God is still patient with us. Even now, in our flaws and our failings, God loves us. That's the first point. Secondly, because of our sin, without accepting the gospel, we have to go around proving to others and convincing them and ourselves of our value and worth. But through the gospel, we are justified just as if we never sinned. God's love is poured out into our hearts. We are loved by God. And if you've received the gospel, it means you've got nothing to prove anymore to anyone. You are free to love. And that includes those that have hurt you. And thirdly, Romans 5:8 says that once we were enemies of God, we opposed him. And while we were still sinners, while we were still hostile to God and his people, while we were running away from God, choosing to live our lives for ourselves over God, Jesus died for us. When we were hungry for things in the world that would not satisfy, he fed us. When we were thirsty, he gave us his spirit, the living water. It's a bit hot in here, isn't it? We could do some of that right now. Jesus met our worst with his best, and he chose to love us. The gospel is, God loved all of us while we were his enemy. And when you grasp how much God loves you, it means you can live like Jesus lived, and you can love like Jesus loved. And when you know that your sin and your acceptance by God of your sin is a real thing, then you can overcome evil with good. And in a moment, we're going to pray. We're going to pray that if you've got any bitterness, any grievance, any disappointment, any wounds, any hurt, there's going to be an opportunity to offer them to God. And I'd encourage you to do this. Let go of all of those things. And we're going to ask him to exchange it for more of him and more of his goodness. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, empower us by your Holy Spirit that we may become more and more like your Son, so that our hearts may be full of kindness and compassion and overflowing with your love, Lord, that we may bring hope where there is hurt and light where there is darkness. Father God, I ask you to fill us with wisdom and discernment, that our actions will point others to your truth and your love and not hurt them. Strengthen us to respond as Jesus would, with kindness, not retaliation, with grace, not bitterness, with peace, not hostility, to those who have hurt us or treated us unfairly. Help us, Father, not to be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with goodness. And Father, we're coming to a point we want to let go of any bitterness, any disappointment, any grievance, any wound in our heart that we may be carrying this morning. And Father God, we bring it to you now. Father, help us to lay it down at the cross and to accept what you have done for us. Father, we ask you to exchange all these things we're giving you this morning for something good, something better. And we ask this because we know that you're a good Father who gives good gifts. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.